Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. It's my pleasure to share this message with you. I've entitled, He Destroyed the Root and the Fruit. When Jesus paid the price for us to redeem us from sin and spiritual death, He not only destroyed the root, but He also destroyed the fruit this rotten root produced, which includes sickness and disease. Jesus destroyed the root and the fruit. Praise God, we are free. But it's up to us to take advantage, full advantage, of what Jesus has done for us. Amen. I hope this message blesses you. Begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for Jesus and for the redemption that has been bought and paid for in His blood and in His body. Thank you, God. We are redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. I say so. I am redeemed. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word that tells us of our redemption. Thank you for your Holy Ghost who teaches us what your word says. And this evening we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to teach us, to enlighten us, to reveal truth to us in Jesus' name. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for Jesus. Glory to God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today has been kind of a long day. I have had to come against symptoms in my body. And I think that because of that, this is a real good night to talk about healing. Good night to talk about how Jesus paid the price for us to be healed. And how He did it the same time that He paid the price for our salvation and delivered us from sin. Glory to God. And starting out here at the beginning, the point that I want to make, and I want to reiterate this through the message this evening, is that when Jesus paid that price on the cross, you know, we look at that nowadays and we kind of segment what happened there into different categories. For example, we talk about being saved, meaning for most people, their definition is that they're free from sin and they get to go to heaven. And unfortunately, for so many people, that's where their message, their definition of salvation ends. And they don't include what Jesus did for us in healing. And it's sad to partition out what Jesus did to the point that we don't take advantage of the payment that He made in His body on that cross to deliver us from sickness and disease. And I heard a minister say this here recently, and I really liked how he said it. When the root is dealt with, then the fruit is dealt with. And the root was sin. Jesus paid the price for sin. And He also paid the price for sickness and disease in His body. And when He paid the price for sin, He took care of the fruit of sin, which is death. And that's what it says in Romans chapter 5. So if you want to turn there, let's begin in Romans 5. Paul writing the letter to the church at Rome. He made this statement in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that one man we know was Adam, and death by sin. So let's just stop right there. You can see pretty clearly where death came from. It came when sin entered into the world. If there had never been any sin committed in the garden, there would never have been any death. Death came because of sin. Sin was the root, death was the fruit. And death came in the form of sickness and disease and everything that goes along with it. So when we talk about our redemption, when we talk about our salvation being delivered, we're not just talking about being delivered from our sins so we can go to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus. We're talking about complete and total deliverance right here and right now in our bodies, freedom from sickness and disease. Glory to God. He delivered us from it. He didn't just set us free from sin and leave us here so that we get our brains beat out by the devil every day and have to put up with sickness and disease till we died and left this earth. No, not at all. And we will see this in many different instances as we go through this lesson this evening, where Jesus, when he talked about sin, and we'll see it first off here in Mark chapter 2, he talked about sickness and sin together. Now let's look at that in Mark chapter 2. If you have your Bible, if you could turn with me there. Mark chapter 2, this is the story of the man that was let down through the tiling, the roof. We're going to read a little bit of this. So we're going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 2, the book of Mark. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And you probably have heard this story several times. His friends carried him in, and there was no room. There was no way to get him into Jesus. Verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. So these people were determined. They weren't just going to stop because the house was full of people and there was a big crowd. They were not going to be denied. So they took their friend and they went up on the roof. And they began to take the tiling off the roofs, creating a hole so they could let their friend down. I'll tell you, this is determination right here. They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, doesn't that seem a little odd? Wouldn't you expect him to say, you're healed? Get up off of that bed, you're healed. Your faith has made you whole. Well, he didn't say that. He addressed the sin issue. But what we're going to see is it wasn't just, we try to segment it. We try to say, well, he was just dealing with the sin as if the sickness wasn't going to be healed at the end as well. And that's, for some reason in our minds, we have these two things separated. And Jesus, obviously knowing that this was going to be an issue about the forgiveness of sin, he went straight for the main subject, sin, forgiving the sin. And look at what he says here. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason you these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. So what is he saying here? Which one's easier? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or is it easier to say take up your bed and walk? So he looks at the sick of the palsy, verse 10, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And here's an interesting point. In this time period right here, just before the cross, Jesus deals with the sin issue, and his proof to them of the forgiveness of sins was the healing of the person. The person gets up off the bed and he's able to walk. In the time period that we live in, the issue of sin forgiveness is that's pretty easy to understand. That's pretty easy to believe. That's commonplace. You go to most churches and that's what they'll preach. In Jesus' time period, that was almost impossible for them to believe that the sins could be forgiven. Nowadays, it's very easy to believe. But you talk about someone getting healed, and that's a whole different subject altogether. People have so much difficulty believing in the healing of the body, but they can believe in the forgiveness of sins. And see, the reason why Jesus tied these two together is because once the root of sin is dealt with, the fruit is going to follow. The forgiveness of sin and the healing of the body, it's all in one package. It was never intended by God to be separated. In other words, when we receive the redemption in Christ Jesus, when we receive the full package of what Jesus accomplished for us at the cross, it includes not just the forgiveness of sins, but the healing of our body, wholeness in our mind, wholeness in every part of our life. And yet, we look at this and we think, no, it can't. It can only mean this. It can only mean the forgiveness of sins. And we miss out on what's available for us. And I liken that to, an example of somebody that, let's say that they have electricity running through their house. It's there. It's available for them. And yet they're sitting there with a plug in their hand for a lamp. They're sitting in the dark. And all they have to do is plug that plug into a receptacle and turn that light on, and they're going to get light. And they'll sit there can you imagine them sitting there thinking, boy, I guess the electric company doesn't want me to have lights. Now, isn't that dumb? Yeah, the electric company, they got electricity all through your house. And all you have to do is plug in that plug into a receptacle and turn on the light, and you can enjoy light. You can benefit from that light. It's right there. It's available. All you have to do is put forth the effort and plug it in and turn it on. And it is the same way with Christians who don't take advantage of the healing that has been bought and paid for. It's guaranteed in the blood and body of Jesus Christ, and we fail to take advantage of it because we, in our minds, we don't see it as a package deal. I hate to say it like that. It sounds so like bargain shopping. But we don't see it in the light that it truly exists. We don't see that when Jesus took care of the root, he took care of the fruit. And consequently, we're suffering. We're dying. There's Christians suffering and dying needlessly when all the time it is an accomplished fact. Healing is an accomplished fact. So, and I like, you know, the one thing I want to impress this evening is that this is like a contractual agreement. You know, anything that God has done, He didn't just sling it into existence. There's a contractual agreement. It's called a covenant that He cut in the blood and the body of Jesus that is guaranteed. You know, it's like, think about, you know, just in the natural terms, you know, you buy a new appliance or you buy a car. Let's say you buy a car. And, you know, there's a warranty with it, a guarantee that for, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years that, you know, if there's anything that's wrong with that car, anything happens, you just bring that thing right back and they'll take care of it. And you sit there and something goes wrong with it. You don't sit outside your car and you know, wring your hands and say, "Boy, I wish that car company would take care of this. I wish if they really cared about me, they'd take care of this problem." All you got to do is take that car into the dealership, and it's a contract. They're bound to it. They have to service that. They have to take care of it. But as long as you sit at the house, you sit there wringing your hands, just a hoping and a praying that they're going to do something, you're just going to sit there forever. You know, you have to take advantage of what's been made available to you. You have to have confidence in that agreement that you made with that car company. Well, there's an agreement that was made in the body and the blood of Jesus. And that agreement is not between us and God. It's between Jesus and God. And it'll never be broken. Never be broken. And thank God that we have been given access, because we identify ourselves in Him as our covenant representative. How did we do that, Mark? We did it the instant that we said, "Jesus, be the Lord of my life." See, when we did that, we're identifying with Him in as our covenant representative, and it gives us the ability now, as born again children of God, to use His name legally. We use His name. It's like, you know, it's like a family that has a lot of money. And we've had, you know, many of those in this country, and the Vanderbilts, you know, and a lot of others. You know, that name, boy, that, just think of what that name stands for. You know, in this country, you use that name, you write that name out, and you basically have access to all the fortune of the Vanderbilts. Well, what do you think about having the name of Jesus, having access to His name? He's given us the name that is above every name, every name. When we identify with Him as our legal representative of this covenant, when we say, "Jesus, be the Lord of my life," you're saying, "You are my representative in this covenant between you and God the Father." Hallelujah. And in turn, you have access to His name. You say, "In the name of Jesus." It's just like you just signed the check. You just wrote at the bottom. You used His name, and everything that He has access to, you have access to. I know it sounds too good to be true. I know it. But it is true. God did that for us. Why did He do that? He did it because He loves us, but He upholds it now because He has put forth His word, and He will not go back on His word. Glory to God. So let's look a little bit more at this, where we're talking about the root and the fruit. We're looking at the combined sin and sickness and how we've been redeemed from all of that. And the one example that I want to direct you to is when the children of Israel were walking through the wilderness and they rebelled against God, and God sent those serpents, those fiery serpents. You remember what happened? We're going to read this. We're going to turn back here and look at this. But there was the redemption for them, the freedom from that was done when they put what? A serpent on a pole. Let's go back and look at that. You're going to find that back in Numbers. We're going to start reading. It's in Numbers 21. We're going to start reading in verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. So, you know, what are they doing? Well, these sweet people are murmuring and complaining against God. And this was against their covenant partner, because they were in covenant through the Abrahamic covenant. And what are they doing? Well, they're violating it by murmuring against God. So God is obligated to do what he did with these fiery serpents. And the Lord sent fiery serpents, verse 6, among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Now, this is serious. You know, their murmuring and complaining has cost people their lives. And so, here's what was the solution here. Verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. Now notice this. This is an important point. They sinned, and it's expressed very clearly here. They sinned. So their sin was causing death to take place in these people because of the fiery serpents that came to bite them. But they were guilty of sin. So the solution that we're going to see here in a minute, the solution was going to resolve what? The issue of sin. So let's see what happened. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, I'm in verse 7, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten when he looketh upon it shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, this serpent of brass, you know, what is it? Is a picture of spiritual death. But we know that it is also symbolically foretelling Jesus hanging on that wooden cross. See, when he's on that cross, he became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. He became sin. But the point that I really want you to see here tonight is how these two things are intertwined. The forgiveness, the freedom from the sin that they were committing through their their bad mouthing of God. Their freedom was by looking at that serpent on a pole, and when they did it, it brought healing in their body. You see, those two things, the sin issue and the sickness issue, they're intertwined. You're not going to separate them. One came because of the other. And whenever you deal with one, you're going to deal with the other. And that's what happened for us in Jesus. And both the sin and the sickness and disease issue have been dealt with. And we're free. We are free. Look at what is said in John 3 about this particular occurrence of the serpent on the pole. Look at John 3. John 3 says, and as Moses, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, he became sin for us on that pole. And when we look at him, when we make him our Lord and Savior, it delivers us not just from sin, but from sickness and disease. Let me give you another example. When the children of Israel were leaving in the Exodus, when they were leaving, just before the very last plague was a plague where they were going to, the death angel would pass over, and if the blood of the lamb was not smeared over the doorpost, what happened? Well, the firstborn of every household was killed. So the children of Israel, they killed the lamb. They put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, and they went inside, and what did they do? They roasted the lamb, and they ate the lamb. So when they left in the next morning, they passed through where the death angel had passed over the house, and they didn't kill any of the firstborn in that house. And so they were delivered. They were set free. And it says in Psalms 105, look at this verse, Psalm 105, verse 35, begin reading in 35. And did eat up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also all the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. There wasn't any weak or feeble people when they left. He delivered them from Egypt, the symbol of spiritual death. He delivered them out of that, and he also delivered them with healthy bodies. So here's another symbolic picture of how when we're free from sickness, when we're free from sin and spiritual death, that we're free from sickness and disease. It is when you take care of the root of the problem, the fruit is going to be taken care of as well. And the fruit is the sickness and disease. God does not want us living in sick bodies. You know, today as I was sitting there, you know, listening to someone preaching, I'm at the beginning, I'm telling you, I hurt really bad. My head hurt so bad, and it was, you know, it was just the flu. It's not anything serious, but it was just so irritating to me that I was having to deal with it. And I was having to, exert faith against this. You know, I know that Jesus paid the price for me to be made whole. I know that he did. And yet I still have to make a stand of faith when those symptoms come against me. Here's a verse. We're in Psalm 105. Go back a couple of pages to Psalm 103. Here, this is, you talk about some good words right here from David. Bless the Lord, verse 1. O my soul and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives. Now watch this. See how these things are just intertwined in how they come one after the other. Who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm telling you what a confession that is. Just those first five verses of 103rd Psalm. My goodness, your youth is renewed like the eagles. When you believe it, when you say it with your mouth, when you believe it in your heart, when you take that plug and stick it into the receptacle and begin to enjoy the benefit of that electricity, as I was saying earlier in my illustration. You have to take that plug, though, and stick it in the wall, stick it in the receptacle. It doesn't just happen. You know, you can sit there all day and all night and hope and pray that God's going to heal you. And healing is already available for us. But we have to do something to take advantage of it, to put that plug in the receptacle. And you do it by speaking faith-filled words. You know, one thing that I like to stress when I'm talking to people is, you know, don't just wait until you have a major problem in your health before you start believing these things, before you start exerting or building up your faith muscles in the area of healing. Don't wait until the dam's broke and the water is quickly coming above your head before you start trying to believe this. Because when it gets to that stage, it's really hard. I'm telling you from my own experience where I've had to deal with things and symptoms that were just screaming in my body. You know, when you wait to try to have to build your faith up, you know, it's really hard. You're better off to, on a regular basis, just put the Word of God in. Put the Word of God in on purpose. Make confessions of faith about your body and build up those faith muscles so that when an attack comes, you are prepared for it. Amen. Let's go over to another really good verse when it comes to the healing of your body. And this one, I'm sure most everyone listening has looked at before, and it's in Isaiah 53. And there's a few words here. I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that when they translated the Hebrew into English, a few of these words, they weren't translated with the best words that they could have used. And that in verse 4, if you'll look there in Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he hath borne our, and they put the word griefs here, and that's actually talking about disease. If you look at the Hebrew, the word for that is disease in the Hebrew, and carried our sorrows, and that word is pains. Yet, so let's read it with those words. Surely he hath borne our disease and carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And that word healed there in the Hebrew is Rapha. And I'm sure you're familiar with hearing one of the redemptive names of God is Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. And what they're talking about here. By his stripes we are healed. That's healing of your physical body. Amen. And so when you're being challenged in the symptoms are hitting your body, what we have to be convinced about beyond a shadow of a doubt is that we are redeemed from this, that the price has been paid for this. No different, really. It's no different than when going back to the illustration about the car and the warranty. It's really no different. There's an agreement that has been made, and the agreement that we have in the body of Jesus is a much stronger agreement than any agreement that we would have with another person or a company here on earth. We're talking about the agreement that's been made between Jesus and God the Father in the blood and body of Jesus. It is unbreakable, unbreakable. And we have access to it because we've made him our Lord and Savior. And in doing so, we have identified with him as our covenant representative. And this has brought us legally into his standing between him and God the Father. Hallelujah. You know, the verse that comes to mind that describes that is in Romans chapter 8, where it's talking about that we're joint heirs with Christ. We're not sub-heirs, we're joint. You know, we have come into this in his place, in his standing with God the Father. Hallelujah. It doesn't get any better than that. And so when we're under attack, you know, we have to focus on what has been accomplished for us. We have to focus on the fact that everything took place back on that cross. The price was paid for sin. The root was destroyed, and in his body was broken for us. Then, and in doing so, we have healing in our bodies now. And the fruit was destroyed. The fruit of sickness and death was destroyed. We shouldn't leave this planet until we are satisfied that we have lived out our life, that we have fulfilled our purpose, and we shouldn't live our life here in torment, in sickness and disease. That's not what God intended. And I know at times that it is a battle. I'm telling you, I know, I see this. It's a battle to continue to walk in all that God's made available for us. But just know this, it's your right, it has been paid for in the body, in the blood of Jesus, in an agreement that can never be broken. Amen. Hallelujah. So we read Isaiah 53, we read down to verse 6, and that's talking about the healing of our bodies. Look down at verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. Notice, You know, the wording is even the same where it says he bare the sin. Go back and look at verse 4. Surely he hath borne our disease. Isn't that amazing? All this took place at the same time, and we're foolish for separating these things out. When we do that, we hurt ourselves to think that the sin issue and the sickness and disease, what do we think? It happened on different days? You know, one happened one day and one happened another. No, it all took place at the same time here. And Jesus paid the price for all of it. Now, and here, the verse that we're going to go to next is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this talks about what I've been saying when I've been talking about this legal agreement. You know. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So here we have the elements that I'm sure most all of you have partaken at one time or another, elements of the communion. You have the body of Jesus represented by the wafer, and you have the blood of Jesus represented by the wine. And these elements are elements of what? The covenant. And so as we partake of these, what are we doing? As we partake of these elements, you know, we're not entering into covenant with between God and us. The covenant is between God and Jesus, and we are identifying with Jesus, and so we're able to enter in, but it's still between God the Father and Jesus. And that's so important, because that makes it an unbreakable covenant. It'll never be broken, ever. I thank God for that. Hallelujah. So, as we partake, as we drink the wine, and as we partake of the broken bread, what we're doing is we're saying, I see that your body was broken in my place, Jesus. And I accept that, and I enter into this agreement that you have with God the Father and yourself, and I partake of this wine, and I receive the redemption. I receive it because that was paid for in your blood. So you're receiving the freedom from sin, and you're receiving your freedom from sickness and disease, as you identify in that covenant between Jesus and God the Father. Hallelujah. So what are we talking about tonight? We're talking about how we have segregated, how we have separated, how we have taken the message of salvation and how we've made it about sin only, exclusively. Your sins are forgiven. But Jesus, he didn't do that. You know, he talked about sin and sickness and at the same time when he was ministering to people. And somehow we have separated these over the years. And now we have churches, we have Christians that are convinced. How they ever got this way, I don't know. But they're convinced that God's making them sick. That they're convinced that the sickness and disease is God trying to teach them something. That's ludicrous. You know, that's like some parent going and hiring some thug to beat their kids up to teach them something. That's just crazy. That's not what our Father would ever do to us, our Heavenly Father. So, you know, when you go down that road and you think that, you know, well, God wants me to be this way. Otherwise, you know, God wants me to have this sickness in my body. Otherwise, if he didn't, then he would just heal me. Well, that's foolishness. That's like, again, going back to my earlier illustration with the plug. It's like saying, if the electric company wanted, and you're holding the plug in your hand for your lamp, if that electric company wanted my lamp to work, seems like they would just make it work. No, you've got to plug that light, that plug into a receptacle. You've got to do something. The electricity is already in the wall. Electricity is already in the receptacle. It's already there. All you have to do is take advantage of it. And that's what Christians are. I think they're just dying by the droves, sadly, because they're not taking advantage of what Jesus did for them. They're not recognizing that when he dealt with the root, he dealt with the fruit. And consequently, they're begging God to heal them. And God's saying, just stick the plug in the wall. Receive what's available to you. Receive your healing. And instead of doing that, I think they have the idea, if God wanted me healed, he would just heal me. Well, how does that work when it comes to salvation? If God wanted you saved, he would just save you? No, you have to believe in faith and receive your salvation. Same thing happens with your healing. God has done everything he could ever do in Jesus to provide us with healing. And it's up to us to take advantage of what he's done. Let's look. I think this might be our last verse for this evening. In 1 Peter, just love this verse. 1 Peter, the second chapter, chapter 2, verse 24. And again, as we read this now, I want you to identify the elements here of sin and the forgiveness of sin and the healing of your body. I want you to see that these things, I mean, they go together. Let's look at this. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now that is the forgiveness of sins through his hanging on the tree. That we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Glory to God. Isn't that a good, that's an awesome verse. You were healed. He's already done it. He's not going to go back on that cross again for us. He's already been there. He's already paid the price for us. So what do we have to do? We have to believe and receive our healing. And it's no different than believing and receiving our freedom from sin. And here's something that might help you. Now, when you got saved, when you got born again, you know, Jesus, he delivered you from sin. He washed you white as snow. But after that, I'm going to guess that probably all of us at some point along the way, that we have fallen back into sin. It's, you know, some way, shape, or form. We didn't have to. We've been delivered from spiritual death. So when we fall back into sin now, it's a choice. We choose to. Sad, but that's the way it is. So let's look at, that's the sin issue. Let's look at sickness and disease. When we were born again, when we were delivered from sin, we were delivered from sickness and disease. How about that? There may be people that were instantly healed whenever they were born again. But, you know, after that, as they've walked, you know, through life, then maybe they've gotten sick again. So you get, you know, let's look at this. Maybe you commit a sin. So what do? Well, you believe that you receive your forgiveness for the sin. So let's say you get sick. Now what do? Well, you have to release your faith and believe and receive what's been accomplished for you. It's really no different than receiving forgiveness for sin. If you know, when you look at it in that light, it's because, and the reason why is because it's, these things have already been accomplished for us. They're already done. In other words, we're not trying to talk God into healing us. We're not. It's already an accomplished fact. We're not trying to be good enough for him to heal us. We're not trying to, convince him that we're supposed to be healed. No, it's all of that has been done. The price has been paid. It's up to us to simply receive what has been accomplished in Jesus on our behalf. You can't do enough good things to convince God to heal you, because that's not how you get healed. You know, you can't be good enough. You can't do, because it's not about doing. It's about believing that the price has been paid. Glory to God, and it has. So this is what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you to take time, look at the verses that we looked at this evening. Allow these verses to get on the inside of you, so that, you know, that they become one with you. So you're not struggling trying to believe these things. You know, it doesn't happen overnight either. You know, just because you want it to happen, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. It takes time. It takes you putting forth effort to get this word on the inside of you, to affect the way you think, to affect the image that you have inside of you. Because as long as you see yourself as the sick person trying to get healed, you got an uphill battle. See, how that has to change is you have to see yourself as the healed person, and these symptoms are violators, violating the agreement between God the Father and Jesus. They're trespassers. They can't stay. See, when you see yourself as the healed and you're just fending off these symptoms, that's a whole different perspective. It's a whole different attitude that you have. You know, as long as you see yourself as the sick person trying to get healed, you got an uphill battle. And so change that image inside of you. Get these words. You know, if nothing else, you can just look at the 103rd Psalm. Look at those five verses there at the beginning of the 103rd Psalm. Awesome. Just get that on the inside of you. And when these symptoms, when they come and they try to convince you that you're sick, then you just fend those things off, because you're not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed, and these are lies against the truth. These symptoms are lies against the truth. The truth is Jesus paid the price for me. The truth is I don't have to put up with this junk. It's from the pit of hell, and I'm not giving it place in my life. I'm not begging God to heal me. I am healed. I am the healed of the Lord. I say so. I'm taking this plug and I'm sticking it in the wall, because I know the healing is right there, and I'm taking advantage of it for myself. Glory to God. And that's the attitude that you have to have if you're going to be victorious in this life. Amen. Well, I hope that blessed you this evening. I tell you what, we'll go ahead and pray. And if you, as we're praying here tonight, if you have sickness in your body, if you're struggling with something, understand this. God has done everything to deliver you from this. He has done everything in sending Jesus and dying on that cross to deliver you from everything that came whenever the Adam fell in the garden. He did everything to reverse that. It's reversed. We just have to believe it. Amen. So if you're sick in your body right now, if you want to put your hand on whatever part's sick, I'll pray for you. I'll add my faith to yours, and we're going to believe for a miracle in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for what has been accomplished for us in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in the body of Christ. We have been delivered and set free from sin, sickness, disease, and poverty. Glory to God. And I pray for every person this evening as they are laying their hand on their, on whatever part of their body is in pain or is diseased, Father, I speak life to that part of their body. I speak healing and wholeness in the name of Jesus. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. We are made whole. Hallelujah. I put you on notice, Satan. You cannot torment these people any longer. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that their body is pain-free in Jesus' name. Pain-free. Their body moves the way it's supposed to move. Hallelujah. Their joints are flexible. Hallelujah. I thank you. Their heart beats normally. Their blood sugar is normal. I believe that their skin is in perfect condition. I believe that all their internal organs are functioning the way you created them to function in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for perfect health in every area of our bodies. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.